Okay, we got through the when. Obviously, the title of the lesson is Who, What, When, Where, How to Pray. And we made it, like I said, through the when. So we're going to start on the where do you pray. Let's start where we have Matthew 14:22. Would you read that, Pat, when you get to it? No rush, but when you get to it. Unless someone's... Yes.
Immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, and he sent the crowds away.
Would you read 23? I forgot to put that one on there.
After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone.
So, where was he? When he was
by himself.
He was by himself, alone. On the mountain. What was that?
I said on the mountain.
Oh, on the mountain. And at evening. Where... I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, but there was a lot of examples there about him going alone and praying in evening or all night or in that capacity. But... What had he just done? Was he just fed the people? But he needed to be alone. Do you find your? Hopefully, we find ourselves praying alone, because you do need that peace. You do need that quietness. You can obviously think clearly. You can focus on what you're actually praying for. I know that sometimes when it's just a real quick prayer, sometimes I forget exactly what I'm praying for, and I'll forget something, I have to go later and pray about it later, but sometimes I can just sit there and pause and think about what I'm wanting to say or how I want to put it. Even though he knows what I'm wanting or thinking, I can get it clear in my own mind. What exactly am I asking for? What am I thinking about? What am I asking about it? Whatever situation, whatever it may be. Right.
Sometimes we're in the throes of things, and sometimes we have to start to postpone, fervent prayer, because we need to be about the business that is at hand. And so that's even in maybe grieving for John, but he sees the people and he felt compassion for them. And so he considered.
I mean, we don't know what all he prayed for, obviously. We know, the setting as well, but we don't know what he prayed for fully. Let's move on to Philippians 1:4. Lauren, would you read that?
Always in every prayer of mine, make a request for you with all joy.
So where was Paul when he was writing this?
He
was in prison. I mean, there was multiple times where it mentions that, where the his imprisonment. But he's still praying in that. I mean, I can't fully, truly understand that concept. My mind can't wrap around imprisonment, but to be in a situation where it's just you feel very low, you feel very, and I'm not saying that that's exactly what he was, but because he says he was very confident in the spread of the gospel, but I mean, to pray in those situations, I feel like sometimes it's, we may, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but we forget or we don't think that that is something that we can do, to go in those situations, those terrible moments, those, very difficult times. Like I said, I've never been in any situation where I can look back on and it's been so difficult. It's been like in the throes of, you know, I've just never had that, thankfully, so far. I'm sure that maybe one day I will, but I hope that I will go to prayer. I hope that I'll go to God in that, and to be able to have that comfort in that avenue.
It's interesting, in prison, he still talks about joy.
Right.
And sometimes when we're in the bad times, we need to remember that we do have a joy from the Lord, that we can just rejoice in our salvation no matter what our circumstances are.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
That's what Paul would mean to not. Sometimes when things get bad, all we think about is the bad things. We forget the good things we have in life.
It's really easy to focus on the bad things. Real easy, and I am guilty of it, of not focusing on the more positive things of this situation. And sometimes you don't know what that positive thing is until later. Sometimes you're like, man, whatever happened that I thought was so bad really kind of turned out for the better later, or, you know, maybe not always, but sometimes it does.
Well, even if it doesn't, we still have things to rejoice in.
Right. Absolutely. In his situation.
He's thanking God for them and their faith. You know, yes, they're giving participation in, you know, when he was preaching the gospel, they sent relief. And, he's talking about their faith. And so, it is one of the times that, we see that he's out of himself. And we so get out that sometimes in our own selves and our own struggles.
Right, exactly. And I mean, sometimes whenever you focus on someone else and their situation, sometimes your situation doesn't seem so bad. But it can. But that's what we're supposed to do, is pray for others. You know,
that's usually the case. If we make a point of focusing on others and praying for them, we generally find that our situation is not so bad.
Yeah,
or not as bad as we thought it was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, when I think about it, I realize those moments for sure. All right, let's go to Daniel 6. Nadine, would you be able to read that when you get to it? So after he knew the documents were signed, where did he go to pray? His room chamber. But on the roof, as he'd always done, as everyone could see him doing, as people knew, that's why they had the document put in place. They knew that that's what he do. And he still did it. He knew that he did it already. I mean, I'm trying to think of a situation where maybe I wouldn't have, I should say, guilty of, but, or maybe you're at relatives, family, friends, maybe they're not ones that typically pray, or in a setting, maybe, that you would feel uncomfortable maybe if you bowed your head and said a prayer. And then you find that if you're not saying the word embarrassed, but I guess not sure how others will perceive it, and then whenever you, when you do, and then you come up from that prayer and you see, I find that I've seen people, they're very respectful. Like, they see that, oh, you know, maybe I should too. Okay. And I'll catch them start to say their prayer. But there are situations, obviously, in different parts of the world that that's still where people have, that we support those saints, that they can't do that. They can't do it in open. They have to be secret about it. Man, we are so very blessed that we don't have to worry about this situation that Daniel is in or others that we know of. I don't know. It just made me think of him. Like, he was where everyone can see him, and he knew that he was probably going to get in trouble or what was going to happen.
He knew the sacrifice had been made.
Right.
Specifically to catch him.
Yeah. But he trusted. He trusted that he would be fine. But he knew that he would. God was
going to take care of him.
Exactly. The influence might not have been as powerful.
And it shows us that maybe not in prayer, but he was told not to, like, not to worship God, not to pray anybody worship to their God. But today we can take that. There may come a time that we will be told, you know, right now you can't pray in school, you can't read the Bible, if you read, you know, those kinds. You can have Bible studies in some places. And so now we can take a lesson from Daniel that if we're told not to worship or anything, are we going to give in to the threat? Is the faith going to be greater than fear? And so that's a lesson for us, just not in prayer, but in worship and devotion to God.
Right. That's a good point. Did y'all come up with any other examples or examples with scripture of where to pray?
I put the belly of a fish, although I don't think we're going to end up in the belly of a fish.
Sure. That would be a terrible place to.
Place to pray.
No, I had that one also. And it's not, I'm like, well, I don't think we're going to line up there. But sometimes when we find ourselves in dire straits, and we don't. Jonah's in dire straits, and it was Jonah's fault.
Right.
And sometimes we have a problem, and we're in trouble, but it's our fault. But he still cried to God.
Right.
And so,
we hope
no
we
matter
did.
How bad your situation is, we can take comfort from Jonah, even if I've created my situation, that I can go and pray. Or wherever I'm at.
Right, right. I mean, whether it's in the situation. I mean, I know that some of these kind of cross each other of where can be situational also as physical of places.
I think about Kings 19 and 20. It's about Hezekiah, and he has two different occasions. It's when the king of Syria is coming and all odds are against him, and he's being blasphemed and goes to the house of the Lord to pray. You know, so when we come together, you know, of course, this was a place to where we meet with God. We did not have to come to this building.
Right.
But in worship, you know.
Then, for them.
The house of the Lord to pray. And then the next chapter, he's on his sick bed being told he's going to die. And he turns his face to the wall and he prays to the Lord. So, you know, I mean, there he is on a sick bed.
And he can. Yeah.
Samson was a fulfilled faith temple. There again, he got himself into that mess. But pray God for one more time.
Okay.
Come on down.
Yeah.
There are two instances in the Bible that are about Miriam when she was stricken with leprosy. He prayed for her. And it was because she had said bad things about him. The reason she had leprosy was because she was, upset with Moses.
Right.
And yet he prayed for her. And so it's kind of like praying for your enemies. But sometimes even people we love we're aggravated with and they're in a bad way. Well, sometimes our tendency is to feel like they get what they deserve rather than praying and asking God to help them. And then another time he prayed, Exodus 34:9, when he was starting to lead the people, he had a great task before him, and he asked God to help him with the duties that he was going to have. And he knew these people were going to be obstinate, and he knew they needed help. And sometimes we're in a situation, maybe we're studying with somebody, or there's some difficulties in our family, and we're dealing with obstinate people. Maybe we pray and ask God to give us wisdom on how to deal with it, how to do it rather than winging it,
Right.
Wing it. And then after we're done, we thought, man, I wish I had thought of this or that or whatever. I just prayed and asked God to help me to do the right thing. We could have just spit something out when I should have kept a tone.
Right. And some of those are the things that we mentioned in the last class was in the throw of the moment of standing before the king and saying a prayer about, do we bow our heads? Do we close our eyes? I don't always do that. Sometimes I actually find myself doing it more often than not because I'm in that moment trying to find the right words or right thing to say or do, whatever it may be.
Well, you can pray right down the road.
I do it all the time.
If you're by yourself, sometimes you're not even by yourself, but things you need to talk to God about. You don't need to take time to go to the bedroom or shut the door and get on your knees.
Yeah.
You talk to God anyway. Nehemiah's a good comforting example.
I think that, yeah.
And that's a very comforting example. But if you can pray before the king, we can pray pretty much anywhere.
Exactly. I guess some examples they didn't have scriptures, but it was like, you're at restaurants before you eat. People can look over and they see people praying. They notice that. They do. Hopefully, we don't do it for show. Hopefully, we're doing it because of insincerity. Maybe at work. Maybe you're at work and you may be sitting at a desk or maybe you're wherever it is and you just need that silent moment and someone walks up into your office or at your desk or wherever it may be and they may see that going on. Just laying in bed before you get up out of bed for the morning, laying in bed before you go to bed, sleep. I fall asleep before my prayers are over sometimes. I don't know if I'm guilty, only one guilty of that, but I do. I don't remember if I finished that prayer. Very good.
Sometimes when you're having real difficulty,
maybe
it's a bad situation,
anxiety kind of went away, you could able to sleep. Yeah. All right, let's move on to how. How do you pray? Margaret, can you read Luke 18? Can you read Luke 18, 10 through 14? Luke 18:10 through 14, please.
Okay. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one Pharisee and the other the tax collector. The Pharisee took his stance sitting behind the prayer done before and with him himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men and so on. So. Adult, even a tax collector here. I start twice a week, I give tithes of all I gain. But the tax collector stand at the district, well, not even looking up the size to heaven, but striking his breast, saying, Word of God, be favorable, which is gracious to me, especially the wicked sinner like I am. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, forgiven and made upright and in right standing with God, rather than the other man, for everyone who exalts himself with being humble, but with humble himself with the exalt.
So, thank you. So what was the difference between the two prayers or the two people praying? Yeah. One had a sincere heart, humble, and the other one was
pride.
Yeah. Very good. Arrogant, prideful.
And one saw God's mercy, the other saw God's grace. And sometimes, you know,
very arrogant. Colossians 4:2. Tammy, can you read that? Or do I need to? Okay. So describe that. Describe these prayers. What kind of things did it? Or describe what it's saying about prayer. Oh. Okay. What's the key word in there that, or a couple of key words in there that it says?
Continue.
Devoted to. Always giving thanks. Yeah, keeping alert. The attitude of thanksgiving. I didn't ask for you to give the definition of devoting, but whenever you think of devoting, how would you describe that? What comes to your mind when you hear devoting or devotion?
Effort.
Giving all, a large part of your time or resources is kind of what I came to. So that should, a lot of part of your time in prayer. Okay, Philippians 1:4. I know we've read this one before, I believe. Let's read it again. Sandra, could you read that? Joy. Enjoy. I'm going to say that not always do I come or go to prayer in joy. Sometimes it is with sadness or with frustration. And like you mentioned before, it should be joy as well. Yes, there are times when there should be sorrow or frustration, but remember that there is joy in that prayer.